I'm Kevin Kunzman, Managing Editor of HCP Live. Welcome to Doc Talk. At the time of this recording, our coverage of the annual Association for Research in Vision and Ophthalmology meeting, or ARVO for short, is winding down. This episode features Dr. Paul Yang of Casey Eye Institute discussing gene therapy AGTC-501 for XLRP and the newest data discussed at ARVO this year. But for more extensive coverage of the 2021 Virtual Ophthalmology Conference, including session and data coverage as well as expert video interviews, you can visit us at hcplive.com or follow us on Twitter or Facebook. And don't forget to sign up for the free HCP Live daily newsletter by going to our homepage and clicking Register. For now, let's discuss gene therapy. The last few iterations of the annual ARVO meeting has featured highlights of new research and promising leads in the exciting field of genetic treatment for blindness-driving conditions. But this year's agenda really expanded on that offering to reflect how diverse the field has come with all the burgeoning gene therapy agents. Even more so, these agents are progressing in the pipeline, so our discussion of ophthalmic gene therapy is getting more diverse, yet more substantial. Enter AGTC-501. The RAAV2 viral vector delivers gene copy of retinitis pigmentosa GTPase regulator, or RPGR, to patients via subretinal injection. It is currently in assessment for the rare inherited condition X-linked retinitis pigmentosa, or XLRP for short, which is characterized by adolescent-age night blindness that advances to peripheral vision loss and, finally, central vision loss. At ARVO 2021, study author Dr. Paul Yang presented Phase 1 and 2 findings of AGTC-501 in the treatment of 29 male patients aged 6 years and older with XLRP, in which signals of efficacy and safety, as well as meaningful improvement in macular sensitivity and best-corrected visual acuity, were observed through 6 months. During the meeting, we got a chance to discuss the findings with Dr. Paul Yang, who also shared glimpses into the XLRP patient population, the next steps of AGTC-501 assessment, and the state of gene therapy and visual impairment. We hope you enjoy. So, Dr. Yang, thank you so much for your time. As I said before we got going here, it seems as if every year that we cover ARVO, we get into some discussion around gene therapy and how it's emerging in the field. It's coming closer to greater applicated use than the investigative work that's been put into it for years and years now, and just really ophthalmology being representative of the opportunities that we have with this very unique and fascinating drug class. So before we get going, I just want to thank you so much for your time and insight into this.
You're welcome. Happy to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just actually go into the research itself. So presenting at ARVO 21 is the 6-month findings from phase 1 and 2 for AGTC-501. Essentially some clinically meaningful improvements, correct, in X-linked retinitis pigmentosa?
That's correct. X-linked retinitis pigmentosa.
Okay. Excellent. So, obviously we have all the abstract history and information here available, but I would love to get your perspective as to what stands out to you as the more significant and key findings, the key takeaways.
Well, certainly because it's it's an early phase 1-2 clinical trial, I think the major key finding is that it had a good safety profile. In the talk, we do go through adverse events, as we always do, to be transparent. And overall, of all the patients that were treated, the adverse events were mild, and mostly were not due to the investigational drug. The other key thing that we look for AEs is inflammation, because inflammation can be detrimental not only to the eye, but can also be detrimental to the efficacy for gene therapy. Now, the update from this study is that the majority of inflammation that was observed was due to the surgery itself, and the majority of that resolved without any sequelae. But there were a minority of reports showing mild inflammation that was associated with the investigational drug as well. The secondary endpoints, you know, for these early phase clinical trials focus on efficacy. And so that's the other take home, is that the data so far, which is the majority from the 6-month data, but we also showed some data from the 12-month. The microperimetry, which is a type of visual field that measures the macular sensitivity, showed that there was definitely a larger proportion of eyes from the treated group that had an increased sensitivity as compared to the untreated eyes. And this was evident definitely at month 6. And then it also trended in that same direction, even at month 12. So that was definitely a really encouraging finding. The other thing that was seen is that visual acuity, which is a gold standard measure, no matter what kind of disease that you're talking about of the eyes, the visual acuity actually showed a statistically significant difference between the treated and untreated eyes as well. There was a significant improvement of 5 or more letters that seemed to be sustained up to 12 months. Now, 5 letters is, you know, probably at the threshold, you know, of what one would consider variability, but that's still, you know, highly supportive of a biological signal and, you know, supportive of the microperimetry data. So I would say that overall, this is highly encouraging, you know, for an early phase 1-2 study and supports continued efforts to see what the effect of the AGTC-501 treatment will be in the dose expansion cohort.
Our own previous coverage into the space of gene therapy and discussion therein, strangely in the last few years, has hooked around almost predominantly in the space of XLRP, this patient population, which generally speaking, when we talk about clinical advances outside of gene therapy for ophthalmic care, doesn't always come up very frequently for us. So it's a little curious, and it leads me to ask you, Dr. Yang, exactly if you could help us understand a little bit better why this patient population is so frequently selected for opportunities in gene therapy.
So, you know, first of all, just the name of it, X-linked retinitis pigmentosa, that tells us that this is due to a mutation in a gene that exists on the X chromosome. So the fact that the RPGR gene is on the X chromosome determines the fact that mostly males are affected with retinitis pigmentosa. And it's passed down through the generations so that multiple family members in multiple generations are affected, and thus, you know, making it a relatively common cause of retinitis pigmentosa. In general, about 80% of them are due to mutations in RPGR. So there are a lot of patients with X-linked RP due to mutations in RPGR, which is why it is a, you know, popular disease target for multiple companies.
Obviously, a lot of it is there, as you alluded to. You know, there's various agents at play here, but speaking particularly to our gene therapy here, and exactly, I guess, next steps of progression. Obviously, with positive phase 1 and 2 findings thus far, I know there's expressed intent in pursuing 5-year outcomes at this point. But I guess, in terms of progressing to next phases of research, what exactly would that look like?
Well, the different programs are all in different phases of clinical trials right now, you know, anywhere from phase 1-2 to kind of phase 2. So all of them are progressing at their own rate, their own pace. You know, Biogen, which is the program that's been out the longest, you know, they're progressing to, you know, the final phase, phase 3. AGTC is currently in the phase 1-2 expansion with plans to progress to a phase 2-3 shortly after. And then the other two, Mira and 4D, they're currently in phase 1-2. So, you know, each of those trials are going to kind of, I think, continue on their own pace as long as, you know, the data is encouraging.
And obviously there's a whole litany of outcomes and interpretations that we need to pursue still for these agents. But when we're talking about in eventuality, a care team that is involved in the actual application, if we're looking at, you know, our best hopes and ambitions are reached and these become FDA regulated options for key patients. Exactly what would the ophthalmic gene therapy care team look like? Who would be playing the roles of prescribers, administrators, follow-up, everything like that?
That's a good question. We've had experience now bringing gene therapies to patients commercially and making sure that, you know, payers are involved in the conversation. And that's thanks to Luxturna. We've had good experience over the past years in navigating that. It is complicated. You know, I think each hospital system and in every state is probably going to navigate this a little differently. But basically, the ophthalmic geneticists will be the ones, you know, making the diagnosis, confirming the genetic mutation and determining the need for treatment. And the vitreoretina specialist will be the one carrying out the treatment. But this also relies on, you know, a good network of community retina specialists, low vision specialists, and pediatric ophthalmologists to, recognize this disease entity and refer these patients for evaluation so that they can be referred for potential treatment.
That's always a fascinating discussion, especially when we're talking about newer agents, something that maybe in the parent's role, they're well informed on the literature, but maybe not too certain to pull the trigger and make a decision such as that. And so those frontline pediatric prescribers and, you know, actors of the referral play a really key role, I imagine, correct, in assuring that they have the most up-to-date information, the most, you know, I guess the necessary tools to navigate that parent discussion, because that's it's a new discussion. It's a pretty novel one relative to other treatment strategies, correct? I mean,
mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, I think the detailed discussion will probably occur with the ophthalmic geneticist. So I think the idea is that, you know, the greater community just needs to have a better awareness that, you know, there is, you know, hopefully going to be a commercially available treatment for this disease entity, you know, whichever one that is. And, you know, we have to get the word out. And I think that's something that, you know, we as a field, including, you know, and in partnership with the sponsors too, need to get that word out and increase the awareness. And so as long as the patients are being referred in, you know, who are at suspicion for, you know, a given disease, it's going to be the ophthalmic geneticist that has, you know, the specific conversation with the families on, you know, whether or not they have this specific disease and if they have the mutations, you know, that would benefit from gene therapy. And if so, you know, what are the risks and benefits of going through gene therapy?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. And, you know, something that I think we observe serve to benefit all rare diseases to an extent when we're trying to pursue new clinical options and reach, you know, regulated statuses, advocacy groups, awareness groups, patient-led groups, just helping to campaign for more awareness, more resources, because that's something that's often very limited. Obviously, we're talking about, a drug class that very frequently, just even with this trial, we're going a few dozen patients at a time, you know. So it's usually shorthanded by that nature of it, but also benefited by advocacy groups. Is there something that's there's significant advocacy to some of these rare genetic ophthalmic disorders that help benefit the progression of gene therapy?
Well, certainly, yeah. I mean, one example is the Foundation Fighting Blindness. You know, that's a foundation that was originally created by patients for patients to raise awareness and support research And, you know, to this day, they, you know, they're still doing that, and they're supporting clinical trials as well, trying to advance treatments, you know, to the bedside. You know, they've got a great program. One of them is called My Retina Tracker. So My Retina Tracker actually is a foundation program that pays for genetic testing. And that's a huge deal because a lot of times insurance doesn't cover genetic testing. And, you know, before My Retina Tracker came along, it was an uphill battle to get, you know, to figure out whether or not, you know, patients with RP had a mutation in RPGR or any other gene. And so the My Retina Tracker serves to get patients genetically tested, but they also, it also serves as a database. So companies who have, you know, a product under investigation, or if a product becomes commercially available, you know, Foundation Finding Blands can reach out to those patients to let them know that, you know, there are options on the horizon.
Well, that's great. That's excellent. That's great to know. Thank you so much for that, Dr. Yang. And thank you so much for, you know, all this insight and context into exactly speaking specifically to AGTC-501 for XLRP presented at ARVO 21. I just wanted to see before we signed off here, if there's anything else you want to add in terms of next steps, follow-up related to this gene therapy, or if this is anything else you'd want to say to this. We have a pretty full agenda of gene therapy related discussion at ARVO 21. That's been excellent. Just curious if you have any final thoughts.
Yes, I think overall, I think, you know, it's a very exciting time. You know, if we just go back 10, 15 years, you know, it's night and day as far as the amount of clinical trials, right, that's going on for inherited retinal degenerations. And so there's much greater hope, you know, today than there was. That hopefully, you know, one or more, right, of these programs that are currently in clinical trials, it's going to make it hopefully to FDA approval.
Absolutely, and that's just going to be a fascinating and really fun rollout when that decision comes, and this is something that's being implemented on a greater scale or just becomes more available. So we're really looking forward to that and all the other discussions to come related to gene therapy and this disease space. So thank you so much for your time, Dr. Yang. I really do appreciate it. It sounds like it's been a really long weekend for you and your colleagues, so hope you can relax now.
Great, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Dr. Yang for his time and expertise in this fascinating and rapidly evolving field of ophthalmic gene therapy. And as a reminder, you can catch up on all of ACP Live's ARVO coverage at acplive.com. and register for our free daily newsletter by following register on the homepage. We also have a batch of monthly specialty-based podcast series that you can subscribe to on your favorite podcast platforms, including Lungcast, hosted by the American Lung Association, Derm Discussions, hosted by Dr. Brad Glick, and Rare Disease Report, hosted by our own Jonathan Alisay. For now, I'm Kevin Kunzman with HCP Live. Thanks for listening to Doc Talk.